live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's 5 o'clock. I'm Emma Rose Callaghan with the main evening news. Coming up in this bulletin, Gardaí say investigations are ongoing following a fire at a business premises in Ballantrae this afternoon. Teaching unions have called for the Leaving Cert exams to be held in full. The unions have come out against the idea of calculated grades, with the TUI saying orals and practicals should go ahead. A South Donegal deputy is calling for the appointment of a chief vaccination officer to be the voice and face of COVID-19 vaccine rollouts. And Kenny Harkin will be here with all the latest in sport at around 5:15. But first in news, searches are continuing for a missing woman in Donegal. The Search Rescue 118 helicopter was tasked this morning around 10 o'clock after being alerted by Gardaí. Malinhead Coast Guard have confirmed the search is ongoing in and around Lough Swilly, with two lifeboats and a number of fishing vessels assisting in the search. No further information is currently known at this time. Gardaí attended the scene of a fire at a business premises in East Donegal this afternoon. It's believed the fire broke out at an animal feed plant in Ballantrae shortly before 1 o'clock. No injuries have been reported at this time, but Gardaí say investigations are ongoing. Teaching unions have called for the Leaving Cert exams to be held in full. The unions have come out against the idea of calculated grades, with the TUI saying orals and practicals should go ahead. Political correspondent Sean Defoe reports.
The fate of this year's Leaving Cert will be discussed by ministers this evening as they consider a number of options. One is calculated grades, another is a system that includes some written exams and an element of predictive marking. Teaching unions have said today they want a full traditional Leaving Cert. Labour's education spokesman Eoin O'Riordan isn't sure that's possible.
We need a system where if students are not comfortable with those grades or don't feel that they reflect their work properly, that they would have an opportunity to sit written exams at some stage in the future. But it's just so hard to predict at this point whether that will be possible or not.
While these Leaving Cert students also have mixed opinions.
I think there is the scope for the State Exams Commission to come up with a certain range of assessments, send them to teachers and get the teachers to put them in front of their students as if it was a state exam.
Quite frankly, I'm appalled at the government's response to Leaving Cert students. I'm asking them to consider the option of predicted grades. They're saying they're working towards it, but I feel like it's just empty promises.
Ministers are trying to take the range of views into account, but are under pressure to let students know either way. A decision may not come at tomorrow's full cabinet meeting, though, and could be delayed until later in the week to allow more time for consultation with stakeholders. Sean Defoe, Leinster House.
A South Donegal deputy is calling for the appointment of a chief vaccination officer to be the voice and face of the COVID-19 vaccine rollout. Deputy Marion Harkin believes a national plan needs to be put in place to facilitate the macro picture and micromanagement of the vaccination programme. She believes the Health Minister has plenty of other issues to be focusing on.
Said there was an urgent need to do that, and I was very clear to the Minister when I said my comments were, they weren't personal, they weren't political, I'm not trying to score points, but they are practical. And I think there are three main reasons for this. First of all, the vaccine rollout is on top of his job as Minister for Health, which in its own right is hugely challenging. I mean, the last government basically fell because of no confidence in the Minister for Health. So that gives you some indication of the enormity of the challenge facing him as the Minister for Health. I suppose the second reason is the big picture planning is necessary, but equally the detail region by region. And we see here at Sligo University Hospital, and you've also had issues at Letterkenny University Hospital about who's getting the vaccine, who isn't. And the only way to deal with that is to have clear information for people so that people know exactly what's going to happen. And that requires detailed planning. And I suppose the last reason is that this vaccine programme isn't a 3 or 6 month thing. It'll be at least 12 months and maybe much longer before this process is finished. It could actually be ongoing. So in my view, despite the fact that so far, I mean, at European comparison to European countries, we've done fine. Not that that's the highest benchmark, but still, we need somebody to be the face and the voice of this vaccine rollout.
A temporary delay in the supply of the Pfizer vaccine is said to be having an impact on the rollout of the vaccination programme at hospitals across the country. While the first vaccine was administered at Letterkenny University Hospital on January 6th, all staff have yet to be vaccinated, with fears raised last week that it could be the end of March before all staff receive the jab. Donegal doctor and chair of the IMO GP committee, Dr. Dennis McCauley, says there are still too many COVID infections in hospitals. Dr. McCauley told today's 9 till noon show that there is hope all hospital staff will be vaccinated in the near future.
The nursing home vaccine programme has been excellent. And as I say, I think there's only, I read there was only four nursing homes that haven't been offered it so far. So that in a cohort of nearly 600 nursing homes, that's excellent. I know that the stuttering supply of Pfizer, which was destined for the healthcare work in the hospital, that stopped. That dried up because they were gearing up their actual production. So I agree with you. I think there are too many, there are still too many infections in the hospitals. I think Letterkenny is the fifth highest amount of infections in the country. After St. Vincent's, I think, is number one. So therefore, every infection there is a disappointment. There's healthcare staff and, unfortunately, patients who are getting infections in the hospital. So the Pfizer vaccine is destined for that. The supplies, as I said earlier, are, I suppose, to be online again. So hopefully we can get the people in the hospital, all the people in the hospital, all the staff in the hospital, but particularly the front-facing people vaccinated as soon as possible.
More than 150,500 first doses of the COVID-19 vaccine were administered up until the end of January. The latest data shows just over 49,000 second doses have also been administered so far. HSE CEO Paul Reid says over 207,000 vaccines have arrived in Ireland so far and admitted there have been bumps in the road. 246,000 vaccines have been administered in the north so far, although its programme began 3 weeks prior to the Republic's rollout. It's emerged that more than 50 people offered housing by Donegal County Council in the Letterkenny Milford Municipal District last year turned it down. A total of 125 offers for social housing were issued in 2020, with 52 houses refused. Councillor Jerry McMonagall says the figures are surprising, given that housing is one of the biggest issues councillors are dealing with. He says there needs to be a change in policy to ensure extra social housing is provided in the outlying areas of Letterkenny.
When you make the application, you're allowed three areas of preference. So you can put down different areas. Most people that I would deal with would say, I will take a house anywhere. Here's the problem we have with housing. It's starting to become a trend that the majority of homes and houses are being built are becoming available in Letterkenny Town. And areas like Carrigart, Remelton, Kilmacrenan, Marconi, etc. In our municipal district, there isn't as many homes and houses being built there. If you're living in Remelton or Carrigart or Milford and you're not being offered a house in Letterkenny, the chances of someone like that taking it is going to be very slim. We need to be looking at it differently. We need to be investing more in those towns and villages outside of Letterkenny. That there's a bigger problem because it seems to be the policy of governments is the urbanise everything and not to invest in water, sewage, transport, etc. in places like Carrigart, Milford, Remelton, etc.
A Donegal priest says the Irish government negotiated a fisheries deal with EU partners but came home with a tin of sardines. The fisheries deal struck during Brexit negotiations means 25% of fish stocks caught by European boats in British waters will be handed back to the UK. Father John Joe Duffy, who's described the deal as the greatest sellout, claims the cut in quota will come as a cost of around €70 million for the fishing industry in the northwest. He doesn't accept that the deal reached was the best that was on the table during negotiations.
This was the worst deal ever struck, and it is the greatest sellout ever of Irish fishing and the greatest betrayal of Irish fishermen ever, as far as I'm concerned, Michaela.
And indeed, Minister Charlie McConlogue at a recent Oireachtas committee said that the deal that was done was the best that was on the table.
The Minister and the Taoiseach and others came out on Christmas Eve hailing this as the greatest deal ever. It took 20 days later they realised it wasn't the greatest deal, it was the worst deal ever, and it is very obvious that the Irish were outmanoeuvred and we have suffered disproportionately, three times worse than any other country in Europe.
And indeed, this will come at a huge cost to us here in Ireland.
First, the government said it was a loss of 34 million, but obviously 20 days later when they read the deal, they now realise it's 43 million. And when you value add that by 2.5 times, it will be somewhat over 100 million of a loss to the Irish fishing industry. It is the annihilation of the Irish fishing industry by an inept government. There are very serious questions to be asked. Why did the Minister for Marine not lodge an official objection? If he did not lodge an official objection, who was responsible for not letting him do so?
There are huge concerns as well around small fishermen and small fishing boats.
Fishermen in small boats with Northern Ireland licences, their lives are now being placed in danger, having to travel to other ports. I am appealing to the Minister to seriously look at this in order to protect the lives of these fishermen. We saw over the weekend the controversy over vaccines and how the very important Northern Ireland Protocol was brought into play. I believe that the Northern Ireland Protocol should apply now to these fishermen.
Tributes continue to be paid to the late Dr. Tom McGinley, who passed away in recent days. Dr. McGinley was instrumental in establishing the Foyle Hospice in 1985 and supporter of the development of the Donegal Hospice. The Gweedore native, was laid to rest yesterday. Dr. Anne Callaghan, Vice Chair of the Donegal Hospice, on today's 9 till noon show described Dr. McGinley as a legend who touched the hearts of many.
For 16 years, Dr. McGinley acted as our mentor, our supervisor, and then with the opening of the Donegal Hospice in 2003, we then had the appointment of our own clinical consultant, 100% behind the development of the Donegal Hospice. And what's more, he was doing this in a voluntary capacity. His heart was in Donegal, and he was 100% behind the development of what is to be one of the best services in Ireland. He's touched so many families. I mean, he's just a legend, to be honest. And we were very lucky that we had him as our mentor through the years. He himself was so passionate about palliative care. He actually spent time in London with Dame Cecily Saunders working in St. Joseph's Hospice in Hackney.
Mm-hmm.
And, his vision was just incredible.
It's 13 minutes past five. We'll take a short break now and we'll be back with sport with Kenny Harkin.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Kickstart your running with top brand footwear at michaelmurphysports.ie. Free nationwide delivery.
And we cross over to sport now with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Emma Rose. We'll start with soccer news, and the fixtures for the 2021 Airtricity League season were announced today for the Premier Division. The season set to begin on the 19th of March, and Finn Harps, their first game of the season, will be a home tie against Bohemians. That'll take place on the 19th of March, followed by an away trip to Dundalk, which is on the 26th. Derry City, they begin their campaign away to Longford Town. That's on the 20th of March, while City's first game is against the defending champions. Their first home game is against the defending champions, Shamrock Rovers. That's on the 26th of March. The first North West Derby takes place in the Brandywell. That'll take place on the 3rd of May. Meanwhile, Sligo Rovers, they begin their campaign on the 20th of March. That one's at home to Dundalk. Earlier today, the date for the President's Cup tie between the league champions Shamrock Rovers and the cup holders Dundalk was confirmed. It'll take place on Friday the 12th of March at the Talla Stadium. And Shamrock Rovers have confirmed today that Aaron McEnough has left the reigning Airtricity League Premier Division champions to join Hearts. He joined Shamrock Rovers from Derry City towards the end of 2018 and has signed a 2.5-year deal with Hearts, who are currently top of the Scottish Championship. In November, McEnough earned his first Republic of Ireland call-up to Stephen Kenny's squad. And Republic of Ireland international Troy Parrott has joined Ipswich Town on loan. The Dubliner has been on loan from Tottenham at Millwall, but his stay has been cut short to facilitate the move to the League One club. Ipswich currently lie 11th place in the third tier. And Shane Long, he could be set for a deadline day move to Championship club Bournemouth. The Athletic are reporting that Southampton are willing to loan the 34-year-old to Bournemouth as part of a deal to sign Cherries striker Josh King. Long has only started 2 games for Southampton this season. And the Premier League champions Liverpool, they're thought to be close to signing 2 defenders in what's a very quiet transfer deadline day so far. Preston centre-back Ben Davis and Schalke's Ozan Kabak could be on their way to Anfield before the window closes at 11 o'clock. Arsenal's Ainsley Maitland Niles is attracting interest from among clubs including West Brom. Up in Scotland, Celtic boss Neil Lennon says John Joe Kenny is in the building ahead of a loan move from Everton on transfer deadline day, but the Scottish Premiership champions will miss out on the Preston central defender Ben Davis. He's due to join Liverpool. Lennon admits it's frustrating to find themselves gazumped by the Premier League title holders.
These things happen, you know, and it's not the first time it's happened to us, and certainly to myself, you know, over my time as a manager. So, yeah, you're always looking at, you know, possible backups, but if that's not the case, then we'll just go with the way the squad is and just add John Joe to that.
Elsewhere, Rangers striker Alfredo Morelos has been banned for the next 3 matches. The Premiership leaders have decided not to contest the Scottish FA charge of violent conduct. Morelos appeared to stamp on Hibs defender Ryan Porteous in their Scottish Premiership victory last week, in which the Colombian scored the winner. In some other news, Manchester United boss Ole Gunnar Solskjaer says the club are working with authorities to catch the people who racially abused 3 players on social media. Police are investigating offensive messages that were sent to Marcus Rashford, Alex Twanzebe and Anthony Martial on Instagram last week. Solskjaer is upset racism is still an issue in 2021.
In a sense, it's good that we talk about it, we highlight it again, but it's unacceptable behaviour, and it happens all across the society, and we should, of course, we work with the authorities, and it has to be stopped.
Meanwhile, 7 people connected to Premier League clubs have tested positive for coronavirus in the last week. The figures continues a downward trend in positive samples across the top flight. Those who have COVID-19 will self-isolate for the next 10 days. In Gaelic games, the GAA Championship draws scheduled for next week have been postponed. It's understood the GAA doesn't wish to decide the pairings for interprovincial competitions given the uncertainty surrounding the return to training. The Alliance Leagues were due to begin at the end of February but are likely to be pushed back due to continued restrictions. Finally, for this evening in rugby, Nick Tominey, David O'Connor and Greg Jones have all committed their immediate futures to Ulster. O'Connor and Jones have signed deals to keep them at the club until 2022, while flanker Timoney has committed to the province until 2023. That's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after the 8:30 news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Emma Rose.
Thanks, Kenny. And finally in weather, patchy rain and drizzle at first, becoming breezy as a band of rain spreads from the southwest overnight. The rain will be heavy at times, leading to spot flooding. The rain may fall as sleet for a time in northern parts, cool with lows of 2 to 5 degrees. And the closing headlines this evening, Gardaí say investigations are ongoing following a fire at a premises in Ballantrait this afternoon. Searches are ongoing for a missing Donegal woman. The Rescue 118 helicopter was tasked this morning around 10 o'clock after being alerted by Gardaí. Malinhead Coast Guard have confirmed the search is ongoing in and around Lough Swilly. Teaching unions have called for the Leaving Cert exams to be held in full. The unions have come out against the idea of calculated grades, with the TUI saying orals and practicals should go ahead. And a South Donegal deputy is calling for the appointment of a chief vaccination officer to be the voice and face of the the COVID-19 vaccine rollout. That's all from Highland Radio News and Sport for now. You can listen back to a podcast of the main evening news on highlandradio.com. Back with the headlines at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notices for Monday evening, February 1st. The death has taken place of Mrs. Julie McNair, née Brown, Bay Manor Cunningham. Interment in Ray Presbyterian Church on Wednesday at 2:30. Family flowers only, donations if desired to the Irish Lung and Fibrosis Association, care of any family member or Gibson's funeral directors. Wake, funeral and interment are private to family members only and limited 10 people. The death has taken place at Brentwood Manor of Robbie White, Drumboy Lifford. Requiem Mass can be viewed on St Patrick's Church Murlough webcam on Wednesday at 11 o'clock. No flowers, please. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral will be private to family only, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. The funeral mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam at clonleyparish.com. The death has taken place of Conall Byrne, Macross Kilcar. Remains arriving at his home this evening at 7 o'clock. Removal from his home on Wednesday morning at 11:30 for funeral mass in St. Carthas Church, Kilcar at 12 noon. Interment afterwards in Kilcar Cemetery. Family flowers only, donations if desired, to Cree or Cancer Care West, care of any family member. Due to HSC and government guidelines, the funeral is private to family only, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. The death has taken place of Bernadette Smith, Carronaff Moville. Requiem Mass in St. Columba's Church, Drung Quigley's Point tomorrow at 12 noon, with burial in the adjoining cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed on the parish website at stcolumbasdrung.net. Due to HSC and government guidelines, the funeral is private to family only, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. The death has taken place of John McGillian, 42, 5 Acres, Strabann. Requiem Mass can be viewed on St Mary's Church Melmount webcam on Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock at melmountparish.com. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Marie Curie, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral will be private to family only, please. The death has taken place of Annie Sweeney, Lower Carrowcannon, Fulcara. Her remains are reposing at her sister Kathy and John Campbell's home, Lower Carrowcannon. Her remains are going to St Finian's Church, Fulcara, this evening for rosary at 7:30. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock in St Finian's Church, Fulcara, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSC and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial are strictly private to family only, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. Mass can be viewed on mcnmedia.tv/St Finian's Church Fulcara. The death has taken place of Dick Butler, Ocknish Remelton. Remains will repose at his home. Requiem Mass tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock in St Mary's Church, Remelton, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSC and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial are strictly private to family only, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. Rosary tonight at 9 o'clock. Funeral Mass and rosary can be viewed on churchservices.tv/St Mary's Church Remelton. Family flowers only, donations if desired to Breakthrough Cancer Research, care of Sweeney Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Charlie Ferry, Charlie Faddy Harley, Derrynamanshire Annagree, and formerly of Saskenbeg Gwydor. Funeral Mass will take place in St Mary's Star of the Sea Church Annagree tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. The funeral cortege will travel from Derrybeg, stopping at Aras Gwydor at approximately 25 past 11. Funeral from there to Saskenbeg via Mananiler at approximately 11:30, before proceeding to his home in Derrybeg, Derren and Manchester via Mahara Clogher, Bunbeg and Door for a moment of respect. Funeral from there to the new cemetery, Annagree, for burial arriving at approximately 12:30. The rosary for the happy repose of Charlie Ferry's soul can be viewed tonight on the Annagree Parish Facebook page at 8:00. Funeral Mass will be broadcast on the Colm Gillespie Funeral Director Facebook page and on the Annagree Parish webcam tomorrow morning at 11:00. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and interment will be private to family only, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. The death has taken place of Anita Doherty, née O'Neill, 133 Woodbrook, Derry. Requiem Mass will be celebrated in St Patrick's Church, Pennyburn, Derry tomorrow and can be viewed live via the Three Patrons Parish website. House private and funeral restricted to family only, please, due to the coronavirus pandemic. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers, if wished, to Friends of Alton O'Galvin, Ward 26C, ICU and HDU. Care of Mr. Brian Moran, MDEC Unit, Alton O'Galvin Hospital. The death has taken place of Breed Harkin, née Gallagher, Dunluí, Gwydor, and formerly of Mina Lara Gartahork. Her remains are reposing at her home in Dunluí. Funeral Mass in the Sacred Heart Church, Dunluí, tomorrow afternoon at 12:00, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial are strictly private to family only, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. Breed's Funeral Mass can be viewed live on the Kieran Morty Funeral Director Facebook page at 12:00 tomorrow afternoon. And the death has taken place of Rosaline McGuigan, née Doherty, 11 St Mary's Drive, Strabane. Requiem Mass can be viewed on St Mary's Church Melmount webcam tomorrow at 12:00. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Chest, Heart and Stroke, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral will be private to family only, please. The Funeral Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam at melmountparish.com.